Welcome to the Right Division Network podcast, a production of Grace Family Bible Church in Buffalo, New York. I'm your host, Pastor Scott Morton. And we'd like to thank you once again for joining us as we study God's Word, Rightly Divided. We'll be continuing today going through the book of 1 Thessalonians. We are here in chapter number 2, and we've been looking at verse number 19, which says, "For what is our hope, or joy, or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming?" Now, we started looking at the issue of this crown of rejoicing that the Apostle Paul is speaking of here. And as we started looking at this idea, how we started approaching was looking at some of the other crowns which are identified in the Word of God. And last time we looked at the incorruptible crown as laid out in 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. We also looked at the crown of righteousness, which the Apostle Paul identifies in 2 Timothy chapter number 4. Both of those crowns which we identified are issues that are directly involve members of the body of Christ, issues of, you know, what it is, one, that we're trying to attain, and also the second one being a promise that's been given to every member of the body of Christ. So everyone has put their trust in the fact that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day according to the Scriptures. Someone putting their trust in that and that alone is what gives someone salvation today. So every individual that has done that, who's a member of the body of Christ, one has that crown of righteousness waiting for them and is trying to attain the incorruptible crown that the Apostle Paul had made a reference to in 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. Now we're going to pick up today looking at a couple of crowns that are spoken of specifically related to the nation of Israel and the promise that's been made for them, and how the contrast to what it is for us, the members of the body of Christ today. So let's go over to James chapter number 1, and we're going to start there. And here in James chapter number 1, we're going to read here verse number 12, which says, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him." Now, when you look at this issue, this is where, you know, people are going to somewhat struggle with this idea, because they're going to say, well, that really sounds like something that would carry over to the members of the body of Christ. And because when you just read it on its surface, it really sounds very similar to things that the Apostle Paul would be speaking of. You know, even though when you really look at this thing and you see how it talks about the idea of blessed is the man that endureth temptation. Now, we know that the members of the body of Christ are not being tempted in that type of a manner. We can see, however, if we go over into the book of Matthew, let's go to Matthew chapter number 10 for a moment, to see something that's written here in the Gospel of Matthew about this idea of the temptation here. And here in Matthew chapter number 10, we're going to read here in verse number 22, it says, "And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved." So there's this issue of, for those who are part of Israel's program, about how they're going to have to endure to the end. There's going to be some issues that are going to keep coming up in their program. Opposition is going to be coming up to where it's going to be trying to pull them away from that standing that they have. And it says that the individuals who are enduring to the end are going to have this salvation. Now, we know for us, the members of the body of Christ, the truth of the fact that once we put our trust in the gospel, we're sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. We have a guarantee of our salvation, of being kept in a position of where we're always going to be members of the body of Christ. We cannot undo the things that, you know, where Israel could undo it. Israel could lose their salvation. A member of the body of Christ cannot lose their salvation. A member of the nation of Israel is going to endure temptation, is going to endure testing, is going to endure, you can see things of chastisement happening to try to correct the individual, to keep them on the right path, to try to make sure that they're going to actually endure to the end, so that way they can, it can be said of them that they had endureth temptation, as James made a reference to in his epistle. Now we can go back over into the book of Job. Let's go to Job chapter number 5 to see something that's going to be said here in the book of Job related to this idea. And here in Job chapter number 5, we're going to read here verse number 17, which says, "Behold, happy is the man whom God correcteth. Therefore, despise not thou the chastening of the Almighty." So, here in the book of Job, it's speaking about how there's going to be this chastisement, there's going to be a correction that's going to be coming upon individuals as a result of them doing the wrong things. Now, as a result of that, there's means that there's going to be the temptation for them to actually be doing the wrong things, to be doing the things that are contrary to what God have for them to do. And now, if they do the right things, they're enduring to the end. If they don't do the right things, they're going to have the chastening coming upon them in order to try to correct them, to get them in that right place. We can go over, we saw this in the book of Job. Let's go over to the book of Hebrews, and we're going to see something similar said about this again. And we'll go to Hebrews chapter number 12 to see what the author of the book of Hebrews is going to say about this. And here in Hebrews chapter number 12, let's start here, verse number 5. It says, "And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him." So we see this issue of the chastening that's being said, and it's going to continue on in this chapter. We're going to read some more of it, showing how all these things related to the chastening are the demonstration of the love of God towards the nation of Israel. Israel, who's identified as being his firstborn son. And that's what we see here. We're going to pick up here now in verse number 6 of Hebrews chapter number 12. It says, "For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh, which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chasteneth us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that he might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceful fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. So you see the author of the book of Hebrews really talking about this idea of this chastisement and how it's all geared towards this correction, a demonstration of the love of God in order to get man on the right path. And when you look at this issue of, is Paul, or not Paul, but James, identifying this crown here and calling it that the ones who are enduring temptation are going to receive the crown of life, the issue for those who are of the nation of Israel is that, you know, they don't have a promise related to life. The issue of that eternal life here on planet Earth, you see, if you go back into the book of Genesis, how there was the tree of life back in the Garden of Eden, and how man had the access to that blocked, so that way man could not partake of it in the condition of being separated from God. So that way man could not be in a position where they would be eternally separated from God with no hope. So God separates man from the issue of that tree of life. He talks about over in the book of Revelation. Let's go to Revelation chapter number 22 for a moment to see the description that's being talked about related to the new earth. And we're going to see things of the new Jerusalem that's going to be mentioned here in Revelation chapter number 22. And we're going to read the first two verses here. It says, "And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations." So we see as part of this promise of the new earth, the new Jerusalem coming down, that those who are part of the kingdom are going to be able at that point to partake of that tree of life, getting that promise then of the eternal life that they're supposed to have. Now, we know if we contrast that with something that's said for us, the members of the body of Christ in Adam, going to read here a verse out of Romans chapter number 6 here describing a promise that's been given to us. And here in Romans chapter number 6, we read verse number 23. It says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." And we see Paul talking about us, the members of the body of Christ, identifying that we already have that promise, that gift of eternal life. That's that promise of that gift that becomes our reality the moment we put our trust in the gospel message. Now, when we look at this issue of the crown of life, that promise that's been given to them, we see how it's given not only in the book of James, but we can go over to Revelation and go to Revelation chapter number 2 and look at those messages that are written unto those churches at the very beginning of the book of Revelation. And you see how there's that promise of the crown of life is being mentioned here in Revelation chapter number 2. And we'll read here verse number 10. It says, "Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." So we see here in this promise in the book of Revelation, talking again about this whole idea of that if they're going to be able to endure that tribulation, then they're going to receive that promise of eternal life. You know, that's a different statement than what we see. And I want to contrast that whole idea if we go over to the 2 Timothy chapter number 2 to see what it is that the Apostle Paul says about the promise that's been given to us, the members of the body of Christ. And here in 2 Timothy chapter number 2, we're going to read here verses 11 through 13 in this chapter. And it says, "It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself." So when you look at this passage, you read verse number 11, you see how verse number 11 is talking about the issue of the identity of the individual, of that if we're identified with his death, that we shall also be identified in the fact that it says, we shall also live with him. We're going to receive that life by having that identification with his death. The reality of what is said in Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 6, of the identification of the believer with the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, the moment we put our trust in the gospel. Now, when we look at verse number 13, and I'm skipping over verse number 12 for a moment, because verse 13 really answers the objection that, or the way that people try to twist verse number 12 into meaning, because Paul's saying that if we believe not, so if there comes a point where a person has put their trust in the gospel message, and then all of a sudden they say, you know what, I don't believe that anymore for my salvation, that there's something much more to it, or they start going off into some other different direction related to things. It says, yet he abideth faithful. That he that's being spoken of here, that's the Lord Jesus Christ. So if the individual, for whatever reason, decides not to believe, yet the Lord Jesus Christ is remaining faithful, and we know that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to remain faithful. It says, he cannot deny himself. So an individual, even if they stop believing the gospel message, there is no way that a person can lose the salvation that has been given to them. And that's because he is going to remain faithful, because everything is relying on what he did on the cross and our trust in that, our identification with what he did. So when you look at verse number 12, because verse number 13 really shows how there's no way that the passages in James or Revelation could ever possibly apply to us, because that's talking about people enduring to the end, not giving into the temptations, not giving into the tribulations that are going on. You see how Paul, because if they give in to any of those things in Revelation or James, they're going to lose their salvation. Paul very clearly says we can't, because we're sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. The Spirit is the seal that keeps us as the member of the body of Christ. So when in verse number 12, when it says, if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. So there's an issue of that there's some suffering that's going to go on. Paul identifies very clearly that we're given to suffer for his sake. He talks about how towards the end of this dispensation, that all those who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. So there is going to be a time coming where it's going to be bad for those who are the members of the body of Christ, and bad, you know, in thing of war, anything that we think now that's, you know, really in this thing of we say things are going bad, Paul's saying it's going to get much worse as it gets closer to the end of this dispensation. And Paul's saying that if we suffer, we're going to reign with him, because if we're suffering, it means that we're standing for the truth of God's word rightly divided. We're preaching the gospel message for today, and that's why it is that we would be suffering for him, because if we're not teaching the right message, there's not going to be any suffering that's going to be happening as a result of a opposition to the work of the cross. And so if we're suffering because of that, we're going to be building the gold, silver, and precious stones, which means that we're going to be in a position where we're standing at the judgment seat of Christ, that we're going to receive a reward that's going to mean that we're going to, as it says, we shall also reign with him. We're going to receive a position that goes commensurate with the suffering that we did, with doing the things the right way according to the books of Romans through Philemon. If we're functioning according to the faith given to us, we're going to be building the gold, silver, precious stones. We're going to have that ability to reign with him. In contrast to it, says if we deny him, that denying him has nothing to do with what verse 13 is talking about, that a person saying that they believe not, the denying him is related to, well, I'm going to deny him that suffering. So instead of, you know, well, the bad times are coming, and instead of standing true to the word of God rightly divided, an individual backs away from that truth. Does what it talks about, how at the very end of 2 Timothy, when it says, for Demas hath forsaken me, that Demas couldn't take it anymore, decided he loved this present world, didn't want to have to deal with that suffering anymore, and decided, you know what? I'm going to go away from all this. I'm just going to live my life, and everything's going to be okay. And when an individual does that, yes, they've avoided the suffering. Yes, they've made their life easier for themselves at that moment, but what they've done is they've denied the Lord Jesus Christ. And the result of it is going to be, because they've denied him, he's going to deny them, which means he's going to deny them the position that they should have had. So instead of building the gold, silver, and precious stones, which should have been there at the judgment seat of Christ, they build wood, hay, and stubble. Those are the things that burn away at the judgment seat of Christ, leaving nothing. And if there's truly nothing left, the person's still saved, yet so as by fire. But they have that denial of, well, you know, you're not going to have that position of reigning. You had the opportunity to be able to be in that position, and as a result of your failure to do the things that you were supposed to do, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to deny them. He doesn't deny them the issue of the life that's being spoken of, because he can't deny that, because we already have that. And that's in contrast to what you see related to the nation of Israel, that crown of life, that that's a promised reward that's given to them only as a result of their behavior, of their faith, and them performing in the way that they're supposed to. Now, next time we're going to pick up, we're going to look at that fourth crown and hopefully get into the actual crown of rejoicing as well, to show what Paul is speaking about here in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2. And as we close here, I'd like to remind everyone of our website, which is www.gracefamilybiblechurch.org. And at our website, we have a number of study articles. We have audio files of our Sunday messages. We have information about how to join our Sunday services live as they're being broadcast on Facebook. We have information about how to join our Wednesday night Bible study as well through a conference call option. And as always, if you have any questions, comments about anything in our broadcast, anything you read on our website, we would love to hear from each and every one of you. And until next time, keep fighting a good fight of faith, preaching this message to this lost and dying world.